please.
Good morning again. This is the business meeting of the Judicial Council of California for June 24th, 2011. I'd like to remind all of you here and to let the new members know, probably already know this, that to ensure public access to our sessions and to increase understanding of the work of the judicial branch and judicial council, our business meetings are audiocast live with real-time captioning on the California Courts website. Portions of our business meetings are also routinely videotaped, as you know, for later broadcast on our California Court News or CNN, also easily accessed on the court's website. So for these meetings, I ask that we address each other by name so that listeners can follow the discussion. And you should note that we've had several online visitors in the past listening to our meetings, and even greater numbers listen to our archived broadcasts when issues arise in the branch. We also, this morning, we're honored to have distinguished colleagues and presenters who will be introduced as the presentations are heard on our agenda. And before we get into our business, I want to extend a special welcome to two of the four incoming members of the council who are with us here this morning, Judge David D'Alba, Superior Court of Sacramento County. Welcome, Judge D'Alba.
Thank you, Chief.
Also, David Yamasaki, Court Executive Officer at the Superior Court of Santa Clara County. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
We also have two other new members, that is Judge David Rubin of the Superior Court of San Diego County and Justice Judith Meisels Ashman Gerst of the Court of Appeal, District 2. Earlier this month, Judge Rubin was elected President of the California Judges Association to succeed our beloved Judge Davis when his term expires in September. And Judge Rubin joined the council at its planning sessions over the last 2 days and officially begins his term on September 15. Justice Ashman Gerst's term begins July 1. We look forward to welcoming her at our next session. And the terms for Judge D'Alba and Mr. Yamasaki officially begin September 15th, but we are pleased that you both are able to be here, observe a meeting as part of your orientation. As you know, our early part of our meeting is for public comment, and we have received no request for public comment at this meeting, and we'll proceed to approval of the minutes of our April 29 meeting.
Chief Justice, I'll move approval of those minutes.
Thank you, Justice Huffman. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I hear that's just Judge O'Malley and Judge Enright.
Yes.
Thank you. All in favor of approval of the Judicial Council meeting minutes of April 29?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Yes. Next on our agenda is the Chief Justice's report, and I wanted to make several comments. First, it's very gratifying to know that notwithstanding our well-intentioned agenda for Wednesday and Thursday, that Judicial Council engaged rather in a lively, lengthy, and productive discussion on Judicial Council governance procedures, and from the nature and length of our meetings to providing additional expanded public participation. We addressed this early on in our meeting, and it was a long discussion. We could have gone on even longer. It was quite participatory. I think that that has been, at least in my experience on council, some of the best discussions we've ever had. Everyone participated. We then put together a list of recommendations, and we'll be following up on those recommendations. I'll be putting together, hopefully, a group of folks to take a look at putting those recommendations into short-term, mid-term, and long-term recommendations that council can then vote on, and we'll be moving forward with that. In terms of that list that we all participated in making yesterday, is there a motion to process that, appoint an internal working group to make sure that we stay on task with those recommendations and bring it up at the next council meeting?
Chief, uh-huh. I'd so move.
Let me and that's part of reflective of our discussion that we had yesterday. So those who so moved, please state your name on the record.
Judge Pines.
Judge O'Malley.
Judge Waters.
Thank you. Do I hear a second? Everyone else seconds. And so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And we will follow through on that. And thank you very much. We also addressed our planning sessions, which was the part of the meeting was reserved for that in particular. And I'm happy to hear that the planning meetings went well. And it's important to have our planning meetings, as you know, because by clearly stating our goals and defining our objectives, the Judicial Council provides a level of transparency and accountability that the courts demand and the public deserves. It's also our roadmap, as you know, for our state court system. It's responsible for our rapid progress in the last 15 years. And it's also evidence of every initiative that is approved by council and assigned to the AOC has its roots in our strategic plan and our goals. So this is a very important planning period, and we've kicked off yesterday with that. And our thanks to Judge Stephen Jarre, retired, who helped lead us through the process. I also want to address something else that we discussed that was off our agenda, which further indicates that Judicial Council is again demonstrating its leadership and taking control of the issues facing the branch, and that is we discussed the judicial branch budget crisis. And by that I mean, and it needs little explication really, that part of the legislative branch budget included a $150 million reduction on top of the $200 million reduction. And I'm proud to say that the branch leaders came together in time of crisis to really present a unified voice of opposition to the cuts. And despite any of our differences on philosophy or conflict on policy, all 58 presiding judges, all six appellate presiding justices came forward with other stakeholders, with the bar, with other bar associations to oppose this cut, this reduction to justice. Letters were sent. But we also had a very, I think, important, critical discussion about what this means to the branch. And we had that also on Wednesday, and it was very productive as well. So I'm proud of and grateful for the leadership shown by the entire branch and by council and taking that matter on where we could talk about the issues freely and have information put to us by the AOC regarding what our status is financially. The last thing I want to talk about in my report is AB 1208, but I am going to flip that to Justice Baxter when the time comes to further describe the process of that. But again, I just want to say at this point that I am again gratified by the leadership shown and the fact that AB 1208 never left the Assembly. The other thing I want to end with are my appearances in terms of it's sort of a listening tour of getting to know the bench and bar and other stakeholders. And I'll give you just a quick recap, and as I read it, I exhausted myself, but I'm going to summarize it by telling you that since our last meeting, I've met with three benches, members from the Sacramento Superior Court, the San Francisco Superior Court, and the Riverside Superior Court. I also had the opportunity to chair my first state federal judicial council meeting with Judge Arthur Alarcon of the Ninth Circuit. We discuss ideas of mutual interest that impact both the federal bench and the state bench. Also, I attended the CJA reception during their meetings in Sacramento. I observed the San Francisco Juvenile Collaborative Reentry Court, the first of its kind in the nation, where it involves juvenile delinquents or the delinquency calendar and integrating those kids back into the community with wraparound services. This is a program run by Judge Kathleen Kelly of the San Francisco Superior Court. She has a marvelous team of folks who care. And I observed that program along with Kurt Child and Tracy Kenny. We're all impressed with the value of that program to juveniles. Also had the opportunity to attend and participate with the California Peace Officers Annual Memorial Ceremony. Also addressed the Consumer Attorneys of California Conference, Law Day in Riverside, the Pro Bono Alameda Dinner, the State Bar Board of Governors Dinner, addressed the American Law Institute, had an opportunity to meet with three bar associations, twice in Orange County. Also, that was with the Women Lawyers of Orange County and Public Law Center. Also, with my fellow justices, we attended the Beverly Hills Bar Association and provided a Q&A. and also the South Asian Bar Association, and then gave three commencement addresses at three law schools. I will say that at every single one of these appearances, judicial council members and judges turn out. And I am gratified by your support and by your leadership in the community. And it is a way that we are ambassadors of the branch. I thank you for being there. It's also heartwarming to see in a sea of 1,000 faces, a few familiar ones, especially since we are joined in our effort to improve the public access to justice. I believe before I end my report, I want to make a special note to those who are retiring. And that, of course, would be our tremendous gratitude and respect for Sheila Calabro, Stephen Nash, Ken Kahn, and Jim Vesper. We had an opportunity to honor you last night. It was all too brief. We wish it could go on because of the great work you've done for us and in the AOC. Your leadership will not be forgotten. I also want to lastly mention that Justice Huffman concludes his service as a council member, but he's not going far because we need his expertise in time of challenge. So he will be gratefully, thank you, Justice Huffman, chairing the A&E Accountability and Efficiency Committee, where we need you and we will rely on you and your expertise and your voice. We can continue to expect to see a great deal of him. And so thank you. I want you all to please join me in saying so long to our beloved AOC leaders. And see you soon, Justice Huffman.